Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Before we start today's show, let me take you back a couple weeks ago to our interview with Ray Comfort. During that interview, Ray Comfort compared President Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler. I was shocked. I did not know what to say. And my listeners, you were shocked as well because I got your emails and comments. And let me say right now, if anyone misinterpreted my silence as condoning what Ray Comfort said, I immensely apologize to you. I should have challenged it, and in the future, I will do my best to challenge when somebody says such an outrageous statement. So I want to let you know that I have heard you, and I apologize for not challenging. I was shocked unequivocally. I want you, everyone, to know that no way can you compare President Barack Obama to one of the worst butchers in the history of the world, and caused the death of over 6 million Jews, plunged the world into a war with death toll of tens of millions of fellow human beings. And so once again, I do apologize for not challenging Ray Comfort. And it's time for this week's Rock Splitting Politics. All right, are you ready for some fun? We're out here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're going to hear some things you've never heard before. Great, great time we're going to have in the next 30 minutes. So you stay with us. This is Ed Holliday, host of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad to have you right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. The future of talk radio is here today. I'm glad you're listening to one of the best shows on the internet. We're growing because of you. Let me tell you what we got going on today. We're going to have something fun. You remember when the Democrats used to do some fun things? You don't see it anymore. They're just absolutely berserk and out of their mind. So we're going to have a flashback to something fun the Democrats did, oh, back in the 60s, okay? We have a senator. And saying that, we got a United States senator on today's show, part one. We're going to have a two-part interview with Senator Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi, great conservative. He's going to be coming up shortly. And then also we're going to have Beatrice Macia. She was born in Cuba, but she works now and volunteers with the Tea Party there in Florida. And she's going to tell us what she sees from an activist point of view, like you and me on the ground. We're working hard, and we're going to talk to Beatrice Macia, and we'll be talking to her after an interview with the Senator Roger Wicker. Now, I tell him we're going to pack a lot in today, so listen up. Also, we're going to have some news. Then we're going to have the election news update. You want to hear about what kind of pack is being put together. I'll give you a hint. Former member of SEAL Team 6 is putting together a pack. Is it for Obama or against it? You better listen and find out. And now we got to tell you about, let me remind you, those who missed last week's show, candidate Mike Madigan, running for the 26th District of the State of New York, congressional candidate. Great interview last week. You want to hear what he said about the Democrats' war on men. And reason you want to hear that, because it's going to be a part of this week's Rock Splitting Obama fact. What Obama is contemplating is something that will fall right in line with his war, the Democrats' war against men, like Mike Madigan talked about last week. So you want to be sure to listen to Rock Splitting Obama fact. And this week's Tombstone of the Week award, I have to tell you that you've heard it. Anybody that's worked hard, that's owned your own business, that's worked at something, and worked hard to get your degree, to get through school, and President Obama says, the government helped you. The government made it for you. You didn't have to study. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to work 18, 20 hours a day getting your business off the ground. No, the government did it for you. That's what Obama said last week. And we got a great rebuttal. I would love to rebut that, but I found somebody that's going to guest rebut for us, and we're going to have a special guest. You'll see if you recognize his voice coming up shortly on the Tombstone of the Week Award. And I just have to tell you, we have got a show that's packed in here, and you're going to have an exciting time. You're going to want to listen to it again and again, I bet. And next week, we'll have more and more of the same. The election's getting thick and heavy, and you're going to listen to hear things right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You won't hear anywhere else, so you better stay tuned. I'm going to tell you how to stay on top of things, and we have got a show for you. Remember, it used to be fun to see what some of the Democrats would do? Well, let's have a little Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting flashback.
All right, I think I'm about as ready as I'm ever going to be. Okay, stand by. This is Wild Thing. Take 72, center.
Wild Thing. You make my heart sing. You make everything groovy.
Have you ever heard that before? That's the late Senator Robert Kennedy singing Wild Thing. And I ought to look it up on YouTube and listen to the whole thing. It's funny. And you know, the Democrats used to have a good time. And now they're so, I don't know, they just way out of line. They just, it's time to get rid of the Democratic leadership. Okay, let's move on. And talking about that, it's time for the election news update. And I want to tell you about, there is a new PAC being formed. And one of the members of the PAC putting it together is a former member of the SEAL Team 6. And he's putting together a PAC with a Montana state senator. And it's aimed at what? Defeating Obama. It's called the Special Operations for America. And this is Mr. Zink, who is frequently slammed the president's handling of the raid that killed Osama bin Laden, reiterated his criticisms of the operation. And this is, it has upset a lot of SEAL Team 6 members that they feel like the president has politicized the event that killed Osama bin Laden. And we all say it was a great American happening, an event. And it came under direction and leadership of President Barack Obama. I talked about it here and gave him credit for it. But he keeps slam dunking this thing right in everybody's face and taking credit for it. And, you know, the active duty military, they have no voice as they're forbidden to publicly engage in the political campaign process. And it is a career suicide if you're in the military to say anything against the commander in chief. So this is what Mr. Zink, who was formerly a member of the SEAL Team 6, and he said, quote, this is Mr. Zink. And he's going to say a zinger here, so let me quote. The president has failed, and he is jeopardizing the safety of our troops, their families, and our national security for political gain. Obama has exposed the identity of special operation units, leaked classified information, and limited the rules of engagement of forces on the ground. Those who have taken an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, it is a call of duty to take back America from a commander-in-chief that is incapable of understanding the sacrifices that have been made for the values that have made America great, unquote. Ouch! Sting! Wow! What a zinger! Coming from Mr. Zink and his new pack to defeat our current commander-in-chief. So that's the election news update that you won't hear many places, but you heard it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Another thing I want to talk about in the news is there's a reporter for the Washington Post, and I know you're thinking liberal, but she has some leans to the right on a lot of things, and I tell you, I like what she wrote last week. She wrote an article, her name is Jennifer Rubin. And she had July Panic for Obama for a good reason. And that's the title of her article. And you can go back and read it, look it up at Jennifer Rubin. But I got to tell you, she is hitting on some things that you've heard here for weeks and months here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We stay ahead of the game. And I just want to let you know that she is talking about some things that Doc Holliday has been talking about. And she actually compared the election of Barack Obama this election year to what? Guess what? She's comparing it to Pickett's Charge in the Battle of Gettysburg. Where else have you heard that? Yes, that's right. In my book, I wrote about a year ago talking about this election being compared to the Battle of Gettysburg. And let's see. This is what Jennifer Rubin had to say. They're talking about all the attacks, the Bain attacks by President Obama, and not going over well and his approval rating going down. She said the extent of the effort is now only becoming clear, and that she said that President Barack Obama's campaign has spent nearly $100 million on television commercials in selected battleground states, and so far unleashing a sustained early barrage designed to create lasting negative impressions of Republican Mitt Romney before he and his allies ramp up for the fall. And she says this: think of it like the Confederacy's artillery barrage on the third day of Gettysburg before Pickett's charge. You have to, in essence, disable the other side before the charge begins or its curtains. All right. And she's saying, ouch for Obama because his barrage is not working. What happened on the third day of Gettysburg? Well, you can read my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo. Go to GetObamaOutNow.com. You go there and you can read the first chapter of my book for free and order the book, because I bet other people are going to start figuring this out. It is like the Battle of Gettysburg. And if we want to save America, we're going to have to stand and even take that barrage, but we got to be ready for the onslaught. They're going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at every conservative. And we have got to stand strong. Watch, just like the Battle of Gettysburg, get ready, get behind the stone wall. We're going to be ready for the attack. And you listen to us right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're going to help lead you through this barrage cannonade of political firing from the far left. And we're going to get through this, and we're going to stand strong for America. You need to hear what we have to say every week right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because we're going to keep you in the know and what you need to know, and you hear things you won't hear anywhere else. And now it's time to hear from the United States Senator Roger Wicker. He's going to speak out about Obamacare, and we're going to ask him some questions and see what he has to say of what's going on right now in the United States Senate. Let's listen to Senator Roger Wicker and what he thinks about the Supreme Court decision on Obamacare.
Well, I was very disappointed, and I guess that in two respects. I think we were feeling like the individual mandate would be struck down and we'd be left with part of a law. Instead, the Supreme Court basically left most of the bill intact, and that, from a constitutional standpoint, that's very devastating, because it means that through the power to tax, federal government can mandate individual American citizens to do almost anything. So that was disappointing. The other side of it is, it's a call to arms. People all over the country. This November is our one and only chance to vote to repeal Obamacare.
That's
it. It will make that decision on November the 6th. If President Obama is reelected, then that ship will have sailed, and we'll be on the road in terms of our health care to European socialism. So it's a big turning point. It sort of shows us that the Supreme Court is not going to rescue us from Obamacare. The voters are going to have to do that.
So it's in the hands of we, the people. And you talked about President Obama. Even if he was defeated, could Obamacare be defeated in the U.S. Senate if Harry Reid is still the majority leader?
Well, there's no. And that's an excellent point to make. I do feel that if President Obama is defeated, the Senate will come along. The Democrats will lose control of the Senate, too, is what I mean. So, yes, right. But it will take a majority leader that will schedule a vote to allow the Senate to repeal Obamacare. And it makes it really, calling it a tax, makes it a little easier for us to do with only a bare majority of the vote.
So it wouldn't have to go, it couldn't nobody could use a filibuster against it since it's called a tax. Is that what you're
right.
saying?
Right. What it enables us to do is pass a budget resolution and then pass legislation to implement the tax portions of that budget resolution, and that can be done without a filibuster. So 60 votes would not be required, just 51 votes or 50 votes plus the vice president breaking the tie would allow us to do that. So even in a close election, Americans can make change happen this year. That's why those races in Nevada, in Florida, in New Mexico are so important. In the small sort of Midwestern, Northwestern states of North Dakota and Montana, by flipping those seats from Democrat to Republican, we can replace Obamacare. And there are so many ways to make health care better in this country. I don't think anybody's saying this is an ideal situation. Maybe some of the big insurance companies like it the way it is. But we need a system that uses good old-fashioned competition, market forces. And, you know, the example I use is no commodity is more important to sustain life than food, than groceries.
Uh-huh.
But we don't have a government program to provide groceries at work. You know, we go out in the free marketplace, and we can, you know, I've got 5 or 10 choices here in my hometown of Tupelo or more, and I shop around for food, and the fact that the market is in place to a great extent, that our food in the United States is relatively inexpensive.
And
if we had the government taking care of it, why, I think food would be more expensive. But
well,
competition keeps things inexpensive and reasonably priced, and we have not been able to use that in health care.
Well, I agree with you. I'm glad you brought that point out. And my question was, we do get a Republican president. If Romney goes in the White House and get a Republican Senate and keep the Republican House, if Obamacare is repealed, which so many people do want, what would happen? I mean, is there a plan in place to do those things, which there are a handful of things in Obamacare that people like you know,
well,
college
okay.
students,
I think,
you know.
I think what you won't have is 2,000 pages of a comprehensive bill.
Thank goodness.
I think we'll do what we advocated 2 and 3 years ago, and that is a step-by-step approach to try a number of market-oriented reforms. But to try to do it all in one big package with the American people not completely sold on it and not completely understanding what it is, not the administration and the Congress not even understanding what it is. That's something that we don't need to repeat. So that being said, I think I would like to see a nationwide market for insurance. Right now, I live in North Mississippi. I can't buy an Alabama insurance policy.
Right.
That's ridiculous. I can buy Alabama cabbage. I can buy Tennessee and buy eyeglasses, but I can't buy insurance from either of my neighboring states. That's ridiculous. And the federal law prevents that. So we need a nationwide market, just like we have in the other insurance markets. You know, I can buy Allstate. I can buy Geico. I go on TV and I see them extolling all of the various advantages of one kind of car insurance over the other. We don't have that choice in health insurance, and that's why health insurance is so expensive. You know, there are a lot of other things we can do. Of course, you know, junk lawsuits drive up the price of health care and health insurance.
And there's not a thing in there about Obamacare that has anything to do with lawsuits, is there?
Oh, absolutely not, because their constituency groups wouldn't stand for that. But so now it's being done on the state level. And of course, there's a lot to be said for approaching that issue on the state level. But I think some sort of national approach to cut back on what causes doctors to practice defensive medicine, I think, would be very helpful. So those two things, and then just a number of state-by-state approaches. I tell you another thing that I hope we will do is turn away from this idea that we're going to put more and more people on Medicaid. Anybody that practices medicine will tell you that Medicaid is a very inefficient system. Many doctors will not participate in the Medicaid system. And the way the Obama administration and Obamacare proposes to expand health care to all the people they say are uncovered, largely is to expand Medicaid.
Right.
And that is a very unworkable system. It will eventually put a huge burden on taxpayers. And that's the one thing the Supreme Court says that states are now free to do. They can accept this Medicaid mandate, or they can turn it down. And I think my state of Mississippi will look at two things and turn it down. They'll say, we can't afford it. And number two, it's not a very good way to deliver health care. So at least we will be able to turn that down. I would hope that a Republican Senate and a Republican House and President would take a whole new approach to Medicaid and perhaps block grant that money to the states and have 50 different experiments about how to deliver health care to the underserved.
Well, now that's a great idea. That I don't know why we haven't tried it, but hopefully we can try it after November.
I would hope so. I voted for that, but of course we can't get a majority of the votes for that. But it might be that some state would have a better idea about how to do that, and then the rest of the states could learn from experience. So there are a number of things we can do step by step, market based, that would be so much better than this monstrosity that will lead us to European socialism. I made a little talk yesterday, and I said this is the pivotal election that will decide if we can avoid the mistakes that Greece and Spain and Portugal and some of our other friends in Western Europe are making. This is the election.
So it boils down to November, doesn't it?
That's right. It means the people can stand up in November and decide, we're going to be a free market country, and we're going to turn away from the big government solutions that are bringing Europe basically to the verge of financial collapse. We've seen the handwriting on the wall, and thank goodness we've had a warning sign. Now, if we don't heed the tough lessons that our allies are learning, then shame on us. But we can see our future across the Atlantic Ocean if we don't change our ways. We can see that future is not very attractive.
Well, it's not attractive here, but it brings up to another question. Is there going to be a need for another debt limit increase before the election?
All right, Senator, hold that thought right there, because we're going to finish up this interview next week. You just heard part one. If you want to find out what we're going to do with the debt ceiling in the United States Senate, listen to us next week when we ask that question and let United States Senator Roger Wicker give us the answer. Now, I also want to remind you, you're listening to us right here, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, where we like to have fun all over the place. And we've just been speaking of United States Senator Roger Wicker. In just a moment, we're going to have a Tea Party activist, a leader right there in the state of Florida, Beatrice Masia. We're going to have her on. And just before we do, let me remind you that we got some good folks, great friends at the Official American Standard Playing Cards, and they believe the foundation of this nation is strong. Their mission is for America to have her own playing cards while sowing seeds of liberty. You can get yours today. To learn more, go to my homepage and look in my Doc Recommend section, or you can just click on their ad. It's also found on my homepage. You'll be glad you did. And I am so glad we have friends right there at the Official American Standard Playing Cards. And now, let me remind you, and after our interview with Beatrice Masia, you will hear this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. You don't want to miss that, and you don't want to miss the Rock Splitting Obama Fact coming right up. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We got a citizen in the state of Florida that's working hard in this election, and we're going to talk to her. Her name is Beatrice Macia. Beatrice, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Havana, Cuba. I came to the United States when I was 5 years old. I love the United States. I live in Tallahassee, Florida. I'm very concerned about the direction that our country is taking.
Why are you concerned about the direction? Can you see some kind of change in our country that the last 4 years under President Obama?
Yes. The reason that I even originally got involved with the Tea Party movement, you know, I was so concerned at the things that I was seeing him doing, and it reminded me that when Castro first came to power in Cuba, people didn't know who he really was. You know, they didn't find out what he was really all about until later. And I started seeing Obama doing things like what he's doing now, you know?
Right.
He's circumventing the democratic process by doing, you know, the way he's appointing people, the way he's abusing executive orders, just, you know, Obamacare, many things that he's doing.
Well, tell us, I know one thing, just like the immigration, he single-handedly said, you know, we're not going to arrest people, you know, no matter what the law says, we're just not going to arrest people and deport them if there's certain ages. So did he make his own law? Is that what a dictator does?
Exactly. You know, what he's doing with immigration, what his attorney general is doing, you know, there are other things on the other side of that. You know, things like the new Black Panther movement, things that they're doing, but they're not prosecuting the way the Attorney General, his Attorney General, isn't complying, you know, providing the documents that he should be providing to Congress. I mean, in just so many ways, he's circumventing the democratic process in this country.
Beatrice, let me ask you this. In your past, have you been, before the last couple years or so, have you been politically involved, or you just sort of sit back and watch what's going on, or have you always been politically involved?
I tell you, I have. My dad was in the Bay of Pigs. My dad was in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been aware of politics since I was 12 years old. I worked on my first campaign when I was in high school.
Wow. Okay.
I worked in politics off and on through the years. I was involved in all of Jeb Bush's campaigns. I went through a period of illness where, you know, for 5 years I haven't been able to do things as much as I wanted to with what's been happening. And thank goodness, you know, when I went to my first Tea Party rally, I like to find out things for myself. I don't want somebody else to tell me what somebody's about. You know, I kept hearing, oh, you know, the Tea Party, they're racist, they're this, they're that. You know, I went to that first Tea Party rally in Tallahassee to see for myself, and I saw great people. You know, what in another era, what maybe they would have called the silent majority, mm-hmm. I saw people of all races, different, you know, political persuasions, but that they were seeing the same things that I was seeing, and they had the same concerns. And that's what interested me.
Well, you know, Beatrice, Florida, of course, is a very important state. Basically, people, the saying, the general wisdom is that if Romney loses Florida, he loses the presidency. So Florida's high stakes state for whoever wants to be the next president. President Obama got majority of Hispanic vote. That it's different from other parts of the country. So what's going on with the Hispanic vote in Florida?
Well, I think because of our many more Cubans here, you know, in other parts of the countries, there may be people from Mexico or other places. And so our orientation is, you know, like I said, we've lost the country due to communism. We, you know, and many Hispanics, I think there's a big misconception about Hispanics, just, you know, they'll just vote Democrat. That's not true.
So
we care about family. We care about traditional values. I really think there was a certain impetus and kind of idealism in electing the first African-American president the last time around. But now we see him as his own person, whether he's black or not, you know, what he's doing. And I think that Hispanics are small business owners. They care about being good citizens. I think there's a much bigger concern now, and I don't think he's going to have the Hispanic vote in the way that he did last time.
Well, Florida went 3 or 4 percentage points for him last time. So do you think there's enough, as people, like you said, have now seen what he is for his own person, What's the sentiment you see in Florida now? Polls show that he's still ahead in Florida, 2 or 3 points. Some polls do. So what's the sentiment on the ground right there in Florida?
Well, I've never been a person to, you know, put all my eggs in the poll basket. I believe on boots on the ground. I believe in people, you know, getting people that are to register to vote. That's the most important thing, you know. And then after that, they've got to go and vote. You've got to get out the vote. You've got to go out and educate people. You know, go talk door to door, put up signs, you know, make those phone calls. And I think, and you know, it's the same kind of initiative, really, whether you're American, Hispanic American, whatever kind of label you want to put on it, you know.
We're all Americans. That's basically
exactly. Exactly. You know, I was born in Cuba, but I'm very proud to be an American. I'm very patriotic. And I think in some ways, you know, I appreciate the freedoms and the liberties in this country because I've lived in a different, you know, in a communist country. And I've seen the devastation that it's brought to my family. So it's just really important. This is not an election that people can afford to sit on the fence and let somebody else do the work. We've got to become active.
You're active in your Tea Party. You're active, I can see, on your local level. So are you seeing a lot of enthusiasm like you have? Are you seeing people say, we got to get out and vote? Or people get, you know, registering people to vote? Do you see that happening on the ground in Florida?
Yes. I mean, in Tallahassee alone, we have more than 10 conservative groups. You know, just a wide range of conservative groups. And I'm not just working just on my local level. I'm aligned all the way up. You know, we've got people running for city commission, county commission. We have people running for House seats. You know, we have a congressman that's running for re-election. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the importance of Florida in the presidential race. Florida is extremely important in the Senate race.
Oh, yes.
We've got to take the Senate back.
So you're seeing that sentiment that, what do you think, Senator Nelson is the Democratic incumbent from Florida, and he's in a tight race. It'll probably be, Connie Mack?
Connie Mack, yes. So, I'm totally supporting Connie Mack. Bill Nelson has got to go. He has not listened to us. We keep talking to him. We talked to him, you know, the last election cycle when he wouldn't listen to us when we defeated Alan Boyd. You know, we replaced him, and now it's time to replace Bill Nelson.
I wanted to get a on-the-grounds report, and Beatrice, I appreciate you telling us, you know, what's going on the ground, and hearing your enthusiasm, and knowing there's more enthusiasm down there. There's people talking about coming in and helping out Florida, people from Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia.
Yes, and we want you. Please come. We need everybody that we can get. We're so appreciative of other folks being willing to sacrifice their time for us. And this is a worthwhile fight.
Well, you just invited everybody to come down and help Florida. And I hope people are listening and they are going to do that. And that's basically the only way to stop Obamacare now is in the hands of we the people. And Florida is one of the biggest states. Every vote counts so much in Florida. So glad to hear from you, Beatrice. Anything you want to tell people across the country right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics?
Doc, you're such a great person. I so enjoyed meeting you. You know, I love your book. We are so appreciative that you have your radio show and that you're talking to folks and that they're listening. So please, everybody, get active. We have to not only take back the presidency, but the House, and we have to keep the House and take back the Senate. It's going to take everything. This Obamacare is a monster, and if it's allowed to go forward, we will spiral down. You know, it's not even like a cycle thing. It's going to be a downward spiral. Also, our next president may have the opportunity to appoint 2 Supreme Court justices.
Wow, yeah.
It cannot be Obama who does that.
Mm. You just spelled it out. I mean, nobody should sit on a fence after what you just spelled out right there. And so we got our backs up against the wall, but we got to, like John Paul Jones said, we have not yet begun to fight. That's the way we got to live the next 4 months.
Absolutely. I think every generation has to fight for the freedom of this country, and it's our turn.
Wow, what a great interview with Beatrice. And aren't you glad we got people like her working hard in the state of Florida, making sure people are registered? And you can help out, too, by finding out how to do Freedom Connector. You can make phone calls in Florida. You need to plan some trips to Florida, Ohio, some of the swing states. You heard Senator Roger Wicker tell us how important this election is. Our backs up are against the wall. We're going to have European-style socialism if we don't get to work and work hard. There's no time to rest. We got four more months to go, but we can have fun, just like hearing late Senator Robert Kennedy singing Wild Things. So let's have a good time here. And talking about a good time, this week's Tombstone of the Week Awards coming right up, and you're going to hear President Barack Obama and how he just trounced on anybody that's worked hard to build their own business or worked hard to study hard to get into school. We're going to hear somebody rebut what he had to say. Couldn't do it better myself. See if you know the voice.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
The idea to say that Steve Jobs didn't build Apple, that Henry Ford didn't build Ford Motor, that Papa John didn't build Papa John Pizza, that Ray Kroc didn't build McDonald's, that Bill Gates didn't build Microsoft, you go on the list, that Joe and his colleagues didn't build this enterprise. To say something like that is not just foolishness, it's insulting to every entrepreneur, every innovator in America, and it's wrong. And by the way, the president's logic doesn't just extend to the entrepreneurs that start a barbershop or a taxi operation or an oil field service business like this and a gas service business like this. It also extends to everybody in America that wants to lift themselves up a little further, that goes back to school to get a degree and see if they can get a little better job, to somebody who wants to get some new skills and get a little higher income, to somebody who that may have dropped out, that decides to get back into school and go for it. People who reach to try and lift themselves up. The president would say, well, you didn't do that, all right? You couldn't have gotten to school without the roads the government built for you, and you couldn't have gone to school without teachers, so you're not responsible for that success. Look, President Obama attacks success, and therefore under President Obama, we have less success, and I will change that. I've got to be honest, I don't think anyone could have said what he said who had actually started a business or been in a business. And my own view is that what the president said was both startling and revealing. I find it extraordinary that a philosophy of that nature would be spoken by a president of the United States.
And that was, of course, Mitt Romney rebuking the statement by Barack Obama, and he said it's both startling and revealing. Well, I don't know if I agree with startling. We knew he was a communist socialist leaning to the far left. He's just showing it, and it is revealing. He's letting his heart speak out. When he's not using a teleprompter, you know exactly his heart where it is, and it's not toward capitalism. Now, we get in this week's rock splitting Obama fact. And let me just tell you about this very quickly, because we're running out of time, but it's very important for you to understand. This is a headline. Obama may impose new Title IX quota on math and science students. Doesn't sound bad, or does it? Well, let's listen. Quotas limiting the number of male students in science may be imposed by the Education Department in 2013. The White House has promised that new guidelines will also be issued to grant-receiving universities and colleges, spelling out the Title IX rules in the science, technology, engineering, and math fields. These guidelines will likely echo existing Title IX guidelines that restrict men's percentage of intercollegiate athletes to their percentage in overall student bodies, thus reducing the overall number of intercollegiate athletes. What they're saying is, with all that, basically what it says is, Obama's trying to correct something. He wants to say, let's get more women into science. The thing is, there's nothing limiting women in the science courses now. Right now, they're not going into the fields, but when you put quotas, what it's going to do, it's going to knock males, it's going to knock men from having as many positions. And overall, we're going to have fewer people in the sciences, fewer people in math. And this is a crazy idea that liberals cling to, and all it does is ruin a lot of lives, the men who can't get into positions because of quotas, and then you end up having fewer graduates in these needed fields. It's a crazy idea, and it has no reason to even be pushed except again, go back to Mike Madigan in last week's interview. If you didn't hear it, listen to it, because he said the Democrats have a war on men. And it is true, folks. It is so true. I had never heard that until Mike Madigan said it. Go back and listen to the interview. He needs to be the next congressman for the 26th District of New York. See what you can do to help him out. Most important four words of 2012. I'm going to tell them to you in just a minute. But let me remind you, next week's show, we're going to have the second part of United States Senator Roger Wicker. We're going to ask him that question about the debt ceiling. Are they going to increase it? And also, we're going to have an author, a physician, Dr. Kip Van Camp, is going to talk to us. His book, Misdiagnosis. We're going to talk about Obamacare and some things that you've not heard about anywhere else. We're going to talk about it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And the four most important words of 2012, getobamaoutnow.com. Go there. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.